Chapter 4, Thinking with the Field in the Great Cycles of Life. Ancient cultures all over the world were fascinated with pineal gland symbolism. Many different spiritual teachings, including secret mystery school traditions, believed the pineal gland acts as a literal third eye in the brain. Recent scientific breakthroughs have determined that there are substantial biological similarities between the retina and the pineal gland. Piezoelectric microcrystals may be transmitting photons that can be picked up by the retina-like tissue in the pineal gland, where they are then sent to the brain and descrambled into visual images. This may be responsible for what we call the mind's eye, such as when we suddenly see a mental image of our friend right before he or she calls us. Clearly, more research is necessary to fully understand how the pineal gland actually works, but we already have some intriguing clues. Either way, in chapters 1 and 2, we found compelling scientific proof that all of nature is in constant telepathic communication through a field that is clearly not electromagnetic. When we combine Dr. William Broad's extensive research with Baxter's breakthroughs, everything we think we know about being living, conscious humans must change. No longer can we see ourselves as separate from our environment. We are fundamentally intertwined with those around us. Whatever we think, they think. And whatever we feel, they feel. Exactly how far can this mind-sharing effect go? Does it only work from one person to another? Does this knowledge have any practical value? Or is it just another piece of weird science? At this point, we may need to consider a shift in perspective. Let's start by asking ourselves this question. What exactly is mind? Even when we discuss the pineal gland, we are still prone to think of the mind as something that exists within each person, where one mind then sends messages to another mind, like a two-way radio. However, what if we're actually all sharing the same mind to some degree, and that mind is far more energetic in nature than what we've been led to believe? Let's go back to Baxter and really think about what he discovered. If the mind is an energetic field, then bacteria could be sharing the same mind as plants. Plants could share the same mind as eggs. Eggs could share the same mind as animals. And all living things may share the same mind with us. When Baxter wanted to burn a leaf, the plant responded. When Baxter started watering a plant, it tracked his movements. Baxter once told me his plants always screamed when one man came into the lab. And this man turned out to mow lawns for a living. When two people meditate together and then go their separate ways, a jolting flash of light in one person's eyes will create an identical brainwave shock in the other person 25% of the time. The Institute of Heart Math showed that when we live together, work together, or have an affinity for each other, we begin synchronizing brainwaves, heartbeat patterns, and other vital signs. Dr. William Broad found that a nervous person could be calmed down by remote influencing. A distracted person could have better concentration and an immediate improvement in mental focus simply by having someone else do the thinking for them at a distance. Thoughts occurring directly in the source field. A September 2010 article in Wired magazine featured a discussion between Kevin Kelly and Steven Johnson on what they called the hive mind. A surprising number of human innovations appear in different people's minds simultaneously, as if we're all using the same energy field to think with. As new ideas are introduced into that energy field, they suddenly become available to everyone. Steven Johnson. Calculus, the electrical battery, the telephone, the steam engine, the radio. all these groundbreaking innovations were hit upon by multiple inventors working in parallel with no knowledge of one another. Kevin Kelly. It's amazing that the myth of the lone genius has persisted for so long, since simultaneous invention has always been the norm, not the exception. Anthropologists have shown that the same inventions tended to crop up in prehistory at roughly similar times, in roughly the same order, among cultures on different continents that couldn't possibly have contacted one another. Gregor Mendel's ideas about genetics, for example. He formulated them in 1865, but they were ignored for 35 years because they were too advanced. Nobody could incorporate them. Then, when the collective mind was ready, and his idea was only one hop away, three different scientists independently rediscovered his work within roughly a year of one another. An article in The New Yorker by Malcolm Gladwell reveals that this phenomenon is far more prevalent than most people think. As of 1922, fully 148 different major scientific discoveries have been documented as occurring nearly simultaneously. This phenomenon of simultaneous discovery, what science historians call multiples, turns out to be extremely common. One of the first comprehensive lists of multiples was put together by William Ogburn and Dorothy Thomas in 1922, and they found 148 major scientific discoveries that fit the multiple pattern. Newton and Leibniz both discovered calculus. Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace both discovered evolution. Three mathematicians invented decimal fractions. Oxygen was discovered by Joseph Priestley in Wiltshire in 1774 and by Carl Wilhelm Scheele in Uppsala a year earlier. Color photography was invented at the same time by Charles Crowe and by Louis Ducos de Haran in France. Logarithms were invented by John Napier and Henry Briggs in Britain and by Just Burgi in Switzerland. There were four independent discoveries of sunspots all in 1611, namely by Galileo in Italy, Scheiner in Germany, Fabricius in Holland, and Harriot in England, Ogburn and Thomas note, and they continue. The law of the conservation of energy, so significant in science and philosophy, was formulated four times independently in 1847 by Joule, Thomson, Colding, and Helmholtz. They had been anticipated by Robert Mayer in 1842. There seem to have been at least six different inventors of the thermometer and no less than nine claimants of the invention of the telescope. Typewriting machines were invented simultaneously in England and in America by several individuals in these countries. The steamboat is claimed as the exclusive discovery of Fulton, Geoffroy, Rumsey, Stevens, and Symington. Dr. Erwin Laszlo commented on how often this effect appears in history. The great breakthroughs of classical Hebrew, Greek, Chinese, and Indian culture occurred almost at the same time, 750 to 399 BC, among people who were not likely to have been in actual communication. In Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's classic, The Presence of the Past, a variety of experiments support the idea that we are all accessing a common data bank of information when we try to think about something, such as to solve a particular puzzle or problem, just like these inventors were doing. In one case, Sheldrake gave a difficult hidden figure puzzle to random groups of people and timed how long it took them to solve it. Then the solution was revealed to 2 million viewers in a British television broadcast. Everyone watched as the hidden face of a Cossack emerged from the background, including his handlebar mustache. When Sheldrake then gave the puzzle to new groups in Europe, Africa, and America who had not seen the original puzzle, nor the British TV show with the answer, they nonetheless solved it much faster. Dr. Paul Pearsall's fascinating work with organ transplants is another example of shared thoughts. though in this case there is a clear biological component involved. Dr. Pearsall has authored more than 200 professional articles and 18 best-selling books on this fascinating subject, and the entire article, with all the incredible specifics, is free to read on Pearsall's website. According to this study of patients who have received transplanted organs, particularly hearts, it is not uncommon for memories, behaviors, preferences, and habits associated with the donor to be transferred to the recipient. A total sample of 74 transplant recipients, 23 of which were heart transplants, showed various degrees of changes that paralleled the personalities of their donors. Thoughts are apparently being stored within individual organs before they appear in the recipient's mind. The source field has spoken once again. The Co-Intelligence Institute gives a thorough summary of experiments Sheldrake has either run himself or compiled in his impressive works on this concept of the shared mind. All of these breakthroughs suggest we are using the source field to think, at least to some degree. In one experiment, British biologist Rupert Sheldrake took three short, similar Japanese rhymes. One, a meaningless jumble of disconnected Japanese words, the second, a newly composed verse, and the third, a traditional rhyme known by millions of Japanese. Neither Sheldrake nor the English school children he got to memorize these verses knew which was which, nor did they know any Japanese. The most easily learned rhyme turned out to be the one well known to Japanese. Experiment 1. In the 1920s, Harvard University psychologist William McDougall did experiments for 15 years in which rats learned to escape from a tank. The first generation of rats averaged 200 mistakes before they learned the right way out. The last generation, 20 mistakes. Experiment 2. In later efforts to duplicate McDougall's experiments in Australia, similar rats made fewer mistakes right from the start. Later generations of rats did better, even when they were not descendants of the earlier rats. Experiment 3. In the 1920s in Southampton, England, a bird called the blue tit discovered it could tear the tops of milk bottles on doorsteps and drink the cream. Soon this skill showed up in blue tits over 100 miles away, which is odd in that they seldom fly further than 15 miles. The habit spread faster and faster until by 1947 it was universal throughout Britain, Holland, Sweden, and Denmark. German occupation cut off milk deliveries in Holland for 8 years, 5 years longer than the life of a blue tit. Then in 1948, the milk started to be delivered. Within months, blue tits all over Holland were drinking cream. Experiment 4. In the early 60s, psychiatrists Dr. Milan Reisel of Prague and Dr. Vladimir L. Rykov of Moscow hypnotized subjects into believing they were living incarnations of historical personages. Such subjects would develop talents associated with their alter egos. A subject told she was the artist Raphael took only a month to develop drawing skills up to the standard of a good graphic designer. Experiment 5 is Sheldrake's hidden figure puzzle, already discussed. Experiment 6. Psychologist Dr. Arden Malberg of Madison, Wisconsin, created a variation of Morse code that should have been no harder to learn than the standard variety. Subjects learned the real code much faster than his invented one, not knowing which was which. Experiment 7. Gary Schwartz, Yale professor of psychology, selected 24 common three-letter words in Hebrew and 24 rare ones, all from the Old Testament, all in Hebrew script. For each word, he created a scrambled version, as in English one might do by scrambling D-O-G to spell O-D-G. Among participants with no knowledge of Hebrew, not only was the confidence in the accuracy of their guesses significantly higher with the real words than with the false words, regardless of subjects, words, or experiments, but the common words got higher confidence scores than the rarer words. Schwartz's experiment was also covered in Combs, Holland, and Robertson's Synchronicity through the eyes of science, myth, and the trickster in 2000. The phrase morphic fields is Sheldrake's own term for thought forms that build up within the source field. Schwartz found, as Sheldrake's theory would predict, that students rated the real words with considerably greater confidence than the ones that had been scrambled, though they did not accurately guess their meaning. Moreover, he found that confidence ratings were about twice as high for the words that occur frequently in the Old Testament compared with those that occur only rarely. The idea here is that the real words had in fact been learned by countless persons throughout history, forming strong morphic fields. The most frequently occurring words had, of course, been seen and read the greatest number of times. Similar experiments have been carried out using Persian words and even Morse code. Richard Linklater's 2001 film Waking Life features a scene in which two characters discuss this phenomenon, and one of them mentions a study where crossword puzzles become easier to solve once they have been published and worked on by large numbers of people. A graduate student named Monica English conducted this research for her thesis at the University of Nottingham and summarized the results in the August 1991 Noetic Sciences Bulletin. But it was never published in a traditional academic journal. Sheldrake wrote about it in words that are no longer found on his website, but were originally published in a Journal of Memetics discussion forum post on the memorable day of September 11th, 2001. The crossword puzzles she used were from the London Evening Standard, not the New York Times. And in the experiments, she tested groups of subjects before and after the crossword puzzles were published in the Evening Standard on February 15th, 1990. Each group of subjects also did a control crossword, which had been published 10 days earlier in the Evening Standard. She found that the subjects performed better after the crossword had been published in London relative to scores before publication. This difference was significant at the 5% level using the one-tailed t-test. The reason Monica England thought of doing this experiment in the first place is that there is a folklore among people who do crosswords, especially difficult ones like those in The Times or The Daily Telegraph, that these crosswords are easier to solve if they're done the next day or in the evening rather than on the morning of the day they are published, suggesting a possible influence from others who have done them.